So we're holding on Ayin Dalet on the day's three lines from the bottom. Mishnah said, Kodshim b'kodshim min b'minah chola, that if the kodshim of one type got mixed up with kodshim of another type, and they're the same type, then we said that fine, you just there's no problem, you just do makri of each of them for the one that it's meant for. Rashi had said on the Mishnah that it means that you actually have in mind each one of them, that it should be for this one if it's his korban or for that one if it's not. Tosfos had actually pointed out at the beginning of the Masechta that maybe you shouldn't be doing that because of the we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta that you shouldn't, that the Chachamim made a takana not to have such things in mind, not to have the specific violin in mind because you might mistakenly have the wrong one in mind. So instead it would be over here that you just do them stam, that Tosfos says that would just mean that you do them stam. You don't specifically have anybody in mind, and that way it's considered lishmar. Okay, so the Gemara says, b'hobay smicha. The problem is each korban requires smicha, and you don't know who's the owner of which korban. Mephoshim point out, so just say then, fine, you have Reuven and Shimon over here, let Reuven and Shimon both do smicha on the one korban, let them both do smicha on the other korban, and you're covered. The answer is you can't. Smicha involves doing work with the animal because you're leaning your full strength on it. So when it's your own korban and you have to do smicha on it, then you can do that because the same Torah that said you can't do work with korbanos says to use smicha on your korban. But here, where you don't know whose korban it is, and misafik, you can't have them do smicha. Tosfos goes into a long discussion over here about various possibilities. Why don't we say, first of all, that we're talking about over here birds, which bird korbanos don't require smicha, and the answer is that our Mishnah is clearly not talking about birds, it's talking about animals, because, for example, it mentioned in the previous part of the Mishnah, leaving them to graze until they develop a mum and selling them. That concept applies only to animals, doesn't apply to birds, as the Gemara talks about in Shmura and in various other places that we learn from Sukkim in Parshas B'chukosai about the whole concept of redeeming, of buying back animals that developed a mum or otherwise apostle for Korbanos. And that applies only to animals, we learn from Sukkim over there, that it applies only to animals and not to birds. What about, for example, you're talking, there are certain kinds of korbanos that don't require smicha, such as b'chor and ma'aser, but the Mishnah just said kodshim, implying every kind of kodshim. And Tosfos goes through many possibilities of why do we have to assume that smicha is implicated over here, and b'chlal, are there cases where we can bring korbanos and not worry about such cases where smicha is or isn't required? So Tosfos has a long discussion about it. Ultimately, we might have there might be certain cases where the Gemara is not bothered by the question of no smicha, where we would be forced to say that it's talking about cases where smicha is not required, such as, for example, a yurish, such as, for example, a person had designated a korban and then passed away, and then his son is bringing the korban after him, where in that case there's no smicha, and other such examples like that. So the answer is Amar Rav Yosef for korban noshim. So Rav Yosef says, you're right, the din of our Mishnah would apply only to korbanos of women. Women don't do smicha. The Gemara learns elsewhere from the fact that it says b'nei yisro, the fact that the pasuk says davar b'nei yisro, and then tell the b'nei yisro about the din of korbanos, and then it says v'samach yodei alosh korbanah, that he should do smicha, and we learn from that that it's only b'nei yisro and not b'nei yisro. Not every time do we do that, of course. We have many, many mitzvahs that have introduced Dabar B'nai Yisrael, and women are equally chayav in, but there are certain cases where the Gemara explains that for other reasons of other drushas from Sukkim, we learn that this particular din does not apply to women. There is an opinion in the Gemara in a few places, Noshim Sonfas Yoshus, that women can do smicha on a korban if they want to, but everybody agrees that they're not obligated to. So fine, if these two korbanos belong to women and they got mixed up, then no problem, we're able to be makriv with one of them on behalf of Rochel, on the other hand, on behalf of Leah, as Rashi puts it, or as Tosfos puts it, just don't have in mind either Rochel or Leah at all, just have in mind generically that it'll be, they just have generically in mind, and then that'll cover either one of them. But you're right, with Korbanos and men, it wouldn't work. So you want to ask Avon Korban and Noshim Loi, so you're telling me it wouldn't work by Korbanos and men? And the result would be that instead of being makriv with them, we would actually have to leave them to graze until they develop a mum, etc. One point that Tosfos makes in long Tosfos over here is that the Gemara is The Gemara is bothered by the question whether in fact the din of our Mishnah applies only to men, but the Gemara would be comfortable with the idea that if in fact it does, then yes, smicha is required, and if not, we can't bring these animals as korbanos, because one point Tosfos makes is there is a takana over here, there is a way out of it after all. You can leave these animals to graze until they develop a mum, etc., so that the value of them ultimately will end up being brought to korbanos, as opposed to certain other cases Tosfos talks about, where you're not going to have that if the smicha can't be done, then you're not going to be able to bring the korban at all. Then the Gemara is more comfortable with fine, so there won't be smicha, and we'll have done. But the question is now we're shelling ayin that on Mishnah. That our Mishnah is referring to dafka korbanos women, such that smicha is not a factor, and not korbanos of men, but esra abaya. But Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, and I have a contradiction. Abaya says, korban yochid shenisar b'korban yochid. If an individual's korban got mixed up with another individual's korban, or the korban sibur shenisar b'korban sibur, or korban sibur got mixed up with a different one, or the korban yochid the korban sibur shenisar b'zeh, or a korban of a yochid with sibur got mixed up with one another. So we're talking about they're all the same type of korban, as in they're all chatois, for example, or they're all oilus, but they belong to different people, or one belongs to the yochid and one to the sibur. Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad both talk about, they're both mentioned specifically as far as the Chafas Yochid getting mixed up with the Chafas Tzibur. Of necessity, we're going to have to be talking about the Soyer Nasi. We're going to have to be talking about the Chatas that's brought by the king, as we learned in the Sechta Hodias, when he violates Halacha, because otherwise, if it's a regular person's Korban Chatas, it's going to be a female animal, whereas Korbanas Tzibur are never female animals, so then it'll be very easy to tell. So the only way to have a mix-up like that, where you won't be able to tell, is going to be where it's a king's korban mixed up with the korbanos of the regolim, or with an oila, fine. An oila could be any individual's korban oila mixed up with any korban oila of the tzibur, because all oilas are male. Anyway, so the Braisa says, shenisar b'zebezeh, so all of these, you have cases where they got mixed one with another. So noisim dalav matonis mitol echad ve'echad. What you should do is, so they're all chatois, let's say, so you should do four matonis from each one, like you're supposed to. If you did only one application of blood from each one, then you're yotze, because as we learned back earlier in our Masechta, in the fourth parak, Beshama Beshilal argue how many applications of blood are needed for a chatas to be kosher. Beshama had held minimum of two. Beshilal had held minimum of one. The halacha is like Beshilal, as it usually is, so therefore one's enough for the evening. V'imnosan arba mikolam yotze. If he did four applications of all of them, then he's yotze. Now, what does that mean? If he did one, he's yotze. Then obviously, if he did four, he's yotze. So there are a variety of different explanations. Rashi says that it means that he did shtayim matonas shein arba. One explanation that he did matana and he did shtei matana shen arba from one korban and shtei matana shen arba from the other korban. So it comes out. So therefore he's done application, applied blood to the mizbeach from both korbanos, and therefore that would be good. So now the Choyt Nosan explains Rashi to be saying, before we were talking about chatoz, where you're supposed to daub the blood on the four corners, and instead now he did only one, and we're saying that b'di'evit is kosher, as this still holds, whereas this part is talking about oilus, where it's supposed to be shtei matonas shein arba, and therefore if you did the shtei matonas shein arba from each korban individually, then it's kosher. Rashi Ksav Yad instead says that it means if you did two from one and two from the other, Mizeshnayim or Mizeshnayim, two applications from the blood of one korban and two from the other one. Tosfos wonders, well, that would be only be a point of his Shammai, would be necessary, a point of his Hillel. Why do we even need to say that? So rather, Tosfos says, you know, we had four cases over here. We had a korban yochid that was mixed up with another korban yochid, and a korban sibur that was mixed up with another korban sibur. So let's say that we have all four. So we have all of those. We have two mixed up that happen, and altogether we have four chatois in front of us. Well, very well then. What it means is he did one matana from each one. So that would be another way of explaining that. It means if he did all four, it means he did one from each one of them. Shittimukobetus considers that to be a doichet, because why we need to say that. So he says the proper gyrsa should be if he did one matana from each one, then he's yoitzer. If he did two from altogether of them, meaning one from each one, then also he's yoitzer. Yet another explanation is that we mean that this braisa comes from the Tisefta, which refers to that you have the Tisefta mentions that these dinim, as far as mixed up korbanos, are the same, regardless whether the korban is a chatas, a toida, an oilo, or a shlomim. Well, very well then. The Chazon Yechezkel says that the four matonis that our Mishnah is saying may mean one from each of those four types. We suppose that those four types got mixed together. Okay, the braisa continues. Now, so the point is, so far, that we don't seem to have a problem with that there's no smicha, because we said that we said that the yochid is mixed up with the tzibur, and the Gemara is going to go on to say that specifically we have to be talking about men, and we clearly seem to be saying there's no smicha. There's no smicha, by the way, by most korbanos tzibur. There's only a few korbanos tzibur where there's smicha, and those are the purim and isrofim, usirim and isrofim, the korbanos that we've talked about earlier in the Masechta, where the blood is brought into the heichal and sprinkled there, and we're not dealing with those over here, because Rashi points out, we're saying over here that you can do one matana or two matanas in the yotze, whereas by chatoris hafnimius, you don't have that. As we learned in Perek Ezra Mekoyman, matana achas men ma'akovas, those every single matana is ma'akov, so yeah. The braisa continues, when is all this talking about? If they were mixed together, when they were alive. So now we have the question, so what should we do when it comes to sprinkling their blood? But if they were mixed up after they were shechted, and now what happened was the blood was mixed together. So now you have one container, one mizrach that contains the blood of these various korbanos. So what do we do with that? Notice an arum matonis mikolon, then again you do four matonis from all of it, meaning from the combination, from the whole mixture of blood. And again, if he did one matana, then he's yotze b'diavad, because as we said, one matana is enough even by chatoris, it's a point of a silo. Rashi points out that it has to be that this would only work if you say yesh bila. We have a lot of places in halacha where we discuss mixtures of liquids, and we have to discuss, do we say that liquids necessarily mix evenly? Can we assume la halacha that liquids mix evenly? Or can we not? It might be that there's more of one than the other in this place over here. So it comes up, for example, in Hilchos Mikvois. We have the concept not on sub, not al sa. You put in a sa of certain kinds of liquids into a mikveh, and then you draw out a sa. Statistically, you would have, if it mixes evenly, the sa that you take out is going to be, you had started with 40 sa, now you have 41 because you added a sa of some other liquid. Now you have 41 sa. When you take out the first sa, you're going to have, statistically, it's going to be 40 parts in 41 are going to be water from the mikveh, and one part in 41 is going to be the other liquid. And you can keep on repeating that hypothetically a number of times, but the point is that in principle we might say they mix evenly, but we might not. We have to take that into consideration. So Rashi points out over here, evidently this braisa holds yesh bila, and therefore we can assume liquids mixed evenly, and therefore whenever we take out blood to do an application of it, we can assume that some of it is from one korban and some of it is from the other. If we didn't do that, we couldn't necessarily say that one matana would be enough, because what if you applied blood from only one korban and not the other? We'll talk about that more a little bit on Amud Beis. The braisa continues, Rebbe Omer, Royanes HaMatana. Rebbe says we have to actually look at the amount of blood that was applied. Im yesh b'kadelazeh k'delazeh, if in fact there is enough blood that you can be yotze for each of the two korbanos, shera, then the korbanos are kosher, v'im lav psula, if not, then it's possible. What is that amount? Rashi explains on Amud Beis, enough that you should be able to visibly see blood on the two sides of the mizbeach. You have shtei matonas shena arba, each one there's a splash of blood on one of the opposite corners of the mizbeach, so it has to be. There's enough blood to be visible on the both sides. The Sfasemis points out, if we say yesh bila, like Rashi said, if we don't say yesh bila, then actually what we're going to have to do is we're going to have, for it to be kosher, we're going to have all of the blood of one, and enough blood that we have all the blood of one and a little bit of the blood of the other. So say, for example, each korban we shech, let's say you get a gallon of blood out of it, then according to that way of looking at it, you would have to do over a gallon of application of blood to the mizbeach to be sure that both korbanos were done. It's sort of like the famous question they ask if you have a drawer with a bunch of socks of different colors in it. How many socks do you have to pull out to be sure of getting a match? So similar idea over here. But again, if we say yeshivila, you don't need that. As long as you have that minimum amount of blood on each of the sides of the mizbeach, then we can be sure that some of it came from one and some from the other. Now, the point is in this braisa, so Abaye who brought up the question says, the point is, katoni yochid dumya d'tzibur. So we're saying, when we mentioned the case of a korban yochid that was mixed up with a korban tzibur, so it means that they're similar. Mat tzibur gavri, just like the tzibur consists of men, either one way of looking at it might be that we say that women are not considered to have a chelak in the korbanas tzibur. And Eger mentions this in one of his chuvas. Other achronim disagree with that and say no, women have a chelak in the korbanas tzibur. But it just means the fact is that tzibur does contain men. So af yochid gavri, the same way that when we talk about a yochid, it must be men. Now they need smicha. Shidduch Kabetzis points out we didn't really need that influence, that diuk anyway. We just said before that of necessity for a chatos of a yochid to be mixed up with a chatos of a tzibur necessarily means that we're talking about the chatos of a king, because everybody else's chatos is going to be a female. So at least when it comes to the chatos, we're definitely talking about men's korbanos. And again, yochid dumya d'tzibur would tell us that the oilus also we're talking about men's korbanos. So mat tzibur gavri af yochid gavri. And the fact is that we don't seem to be worried about the fact that there's no smicha. So therefore, why do we need to say that our mission is talking specifically where women's korbanos are mixed up, and therefore we don't have to worry about smicha? We see from this braisa that even when smicha is a factor, we don't worry about it, and we can go ahead and be makriv the animals and go ahead and apply the blood to them in the first case where they were mixed up while they were alive. We're still going to go ahead and shech them and not worry about whether smicha can be done or not. Omar Rava, however, Rava answers that. Tispro homoterastihi. How could you think that this braisa is correct? There has to be a mistake in it. Dikatoni, the braisa continues. We said, when are we talking about these dinim, about what we do as far as the application of the blood, is when they were mixed up when they were alive. And alive would mean actually alive before they were shechted. But we said once they were shechted, then there would be different dinim. So we would say that when they were mixed up before they were alive, we would say that we should be doing four matones from each one and only b'dievet if we did one. Whereas in the sefer, when we said nisarvu shchutin, then we said, Then we're just saying that noisin matona noisin av matonas we call them. We should, but it's not. We're not saying that we're not. So the question is. What's the difference whether they're alive or shechted? Either way, why do we have to assume that it means that it's talking about that the blood was mixed up in one container? Why don't we equally well assume by shechutin you have to do four matonis from each korban, namely where the cups were not mixed up? Why are you assuming that nisarvu shchutin necessarily means and then all the blood was blended together and we're discussing yeshvila and all of that? Why do you have to assume that? Say that it could equally well, the nisarvu shchutin could equally well mean that the animals are mixed up, you can't tell which is which, but each mizrach has still been kept separately, and then obviously you have to do separate matonis from each one. We can't say that the braisa literally means alive versus shechted, because then there's no reason to make that specific distinction. The distinction should be rather whether the blood has been mixed or not. Ella hokikoma. Rather, we have to say that when the Mishnah had said alive, doesn't actually mean alive. Both of them are talking about when they're shechted. When do we say that you need arba matonis from each korban lachatchila is when they were mixed up. When they were mixed up shchutin he'ein chayin in a way like they were when they were alive. In the sense, you have a bunch of basins full of blood. You don't remember now which one is which, but each one is separate. The same way as the animals were separate when they were alive. So you have it. In other words, exactly the same subject. Is this animal the king's korban, or is this animal the tzibur's korban? The same way, is this mizrak of blood from the king's korban, or is this mizrak of blood from the tzibur's korban? But they're separate. Aval the boilo, but if they were actually mixed together, Then noisen matan, daven matanas lekolan. Then you do four matanas on behalf of all of them, and then vimnosen matanachas lekolan. But if you did one matana on behalf of all of them, yotze, then you yotze, because then you have, then again, as long as we assume yesh bila, then the amount of, then the blood that you put over there will be enough for each of the korbanas. So now, therefore, so smicha has nothing to do with it, because both cases of the b'raisa are talking about after shechita. But that doesn't mean that if they got mixed up before shechita, that it would work. No, we might well say it doesn't work, and you're not, and we're back to what Rabbi Yosef had said, that our Mishnah can be referring only to korbanos of women, and if it's korbanos of men, then yes, you have no choice but to leave them to graze till they develop a mum, etc., because you can't bring them without being able to do smicha. And again, as Tosfos had pointed out, where there's no other alternative, where we might have the korban might have to be left to die or something, then fine, we might not do that, but we might say, go ahead and bring it, and don't worry about smicha, but here we have the alternative of leaving them to graze, and therefore we'd prefer to do that rather than ignore the strictly speaking, I mean, smicha is not an absolute requirement. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that the korban is kosher without it, but nevertheless, we don't want to forego it if we can at all help it. So there's no proof from that braisa against how Rabbi Yosef understands our mission. Okay? Now, we said in the braisa Rebbe Omer, we said that Rebbe had said, Royan Samatana, we have to look at the blood that was applied to the Mizbeach, Im Yeshba Kedela Zev, Kedela Zek Shera, if there was enough blood for each of the, that was enough for each of the korbanos, then Shera, then both of them are kosher, Vim Lav Sola, and if not, then it's possible, because at least one of the korbanos is possible then, because it didn't have its blood applied to the Mizbeach, and we don't know which is which. The question is, Mi Isle the Rebbe Hai Svara. Does Rebbe in fact hold of that concept that there has to be a minimum amount? Valtanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now we have later on in our Perek, we're going to be discussing more about cases where blood of korbanos gets mixed up. And in that connection, the Gemara brings later in our Perek a Braisa involving Mechatas. They also have sprinkling involved. You have to sprinkle the Mechatas, the paradromal water, and there you have, suppose that you had a jug full of paradromal water, and now some other water fell into it. So now the problem is, when you sprinkle from it, are you necessarily getting paradrima water on the person or on the keli, or are you maybe getting this other water? So Rabbi Eliezer says in that braisa later, do two hazors, do two sprinklings. Again, we're still going to say yesh bila. So we can assume the liquid's mixed evenly, but nevertheless, there is a minimum amount that you have to sprinkle. Now, Rashi points out, Tosfos on Amud Beis also points out, there's a difference between, everybody agrees there's a minimum amount that you have to sprinkle. There has to be enough water, there has to be enough water in the container for you to be able to dip the end of the azov in order to sprinkle. Less than that, and it's no good. When it comes to the actual sprinkling, when it comes to that what lands on the person or on the keli, then you have so Rebbe explains, as the Gemara is going to say now, that according to Rebbe Eliezer, there's actually no minimum amount. As long as even a molecule of the water gets onto the person, then he's yotze. So now Rebbe Eliezer says you can put two hazos, and one way or the other, one of them, even if the first one was all the other water, the second one will be from the good water. But Amar Rebbe, the Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, Hazar, and it's Hazar Kol Shu Metaheres, according to Rebbe Eliezer, even the tiniest amount of Hazar is Metaheres, even a molecule of it gets on the person or the Keli, Hazar, and it's Tzrich HaShir, because Hazar does not require a Shir. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss on that. Hey, well, in that case, if ain't it tzricha shir, then the one drop that you did should be good enough. Taka, why does Rebbe Eliezer require two? So we'll deal with that later in the Gemara. On death pay. So the point is, we do have to have. The Gemara there gives a couple of answers. Where Shlokish explains that it was mixed in exactly 50-50. And there's another reason is because of knas. A couple of different reasons that the Gemara gives over there. So some of the reasons assume yesh bila. Some of the reasons assume we can assume the liquids mixed evenly. And we have other reasons to say why you should need two. Then there's an explanation there in the Gemara. One explanation of Ashi says over there that Rebbe Eliezer may hold aim bila. But in any case, our Gemara is taking the assumption, yesh bila, the liquids do mix evenly. And ain it tzricha shir, there's no minimum amount that you need for hazah. And therefore hazah mechza kosher, mechza posel. So therefore hazah can even be from water that's half kosher and half posel. So the reason why you need two, again, we'll discuss in that Gemara later on that day, but the point is, in other words, that we said that now the point is that Rashi explains it requires Rabbi Eliezer to be saying that there's no minimum shear. Otherwise, how do we know we have the proper shear when we're doing either of these hazois? The two hazois that Rabbi Eliezer is requiring are not going to combine. You can't say one of them is a half a shear and the other is a half a shear and they should combine. That wouldn't work. So necessarily, Rabbi Eliezer has to hold there's no minimum shear for sprinkling. Well, the Gemara is assuming that if he holds that way as far as paradromal water, then the same thing would apply as far as sprinkling blood on the mizbeach. So then Rebbe's contradicting himself, because when it came to the blood that was mixed up, we said you need im yesh kedelozeh, if there's enough for one and for the other. So the answer is Dvarav de Rabbi Eliezer comma. Rebbe is talking according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, but he himself doesn't necessarily have to hold that way. Another possibility, you could say there is a difference between sprinkling paradrum or water, where, yeah, even the tiniest amount over there would be enough when it lands on the person or the keli. Whereas when it comes to placing the blood on the mizbeach, there has to be at least enough that it should be visible on both sides where you sprinkled it. And again, as the Sfasemis points out, that's if yesh bila. If we hold ein bila, then you would need more than that. You would need enough that you have definitely that you have enough blood for one entire korban plus a little bit for the other one. Okay. So that explains Rebbe's opinion in that brisa. Next, our Mishnah had said nisarvu b'chor of umaiser. Hold up. Our Mishnah had said that if other korbanos are mixed up with a b'chor of umaiser. And the problem is, we said, unlike other korbanos, we can leave them until they develop a mum and sell them, etc. A b'chor and maisi, we can't do that. So what do? We have to leave them all to graze until they develop a mum, and then we'll eat them all following the rules of b'chor and maisi. So let's talk about that, and we're going to bring in our Mishnah as a proof. So Amar Rami b'chor. Let's start like this. We know as a given, now like this, a bechor tam is brought as a korban, and the kohenim eat it, a bechor ba'maisa ba'pesach, as we say in Ezra Mekoyman, a bechor nechal ha'kohenim, it's eaten specifically by the kohenim. We talked about there, Macholikus, we showed him whether the kohenim's families can eat it as well. It doesn't actually say in the mission over there, a bechor ba'almum is still given to the Kohen, but it's not, but it doesn't have most of the rules of Korbanos. Now, however, there is Machloikus with Shammai Basil about that. We know for sure that the Bechor itself, according to Bishammai, you were not allowed to give a Nidah or any other Tomei person to eat from it. Because they hold that there's a Hekish between a Bechor Tam and a Bechor Baal Mum, between the Bechor and the Chos of a Shoik of a Korban, the Chos of a Shoik of a Shlomim or a Toida is given to the Koyan, and only Tahorim can eat it. So therefore they say the Baal Mum is in that category as well, and therefore only Tahorim can eat it, whereas they still hold the Hekish is only with a Bechor Tam. The Gemara discusses this point in Masechta Bechoris. Anyway, the question would be, says Rami Bachama, Tmurosei Mahu. If you make a Tmura of a Bechor, then, and it has to a certain extent the Kedusha of a Bechor, and the fact is you don't bring it as a Korban. Different Tmuras, you have different dinim with what you do with them. A Tmura of an Oilo or a Shlomim, let's say you bring as an Oilo or a Shlomim. Different Korbanas, you have different rules what you do with the Tmura. In the case of a Bechor and Maiser, the din is you don't actually bring them as a Korban, you wait till they develop a Mum and then you eat them. So the question would be, what happens with the tamura? Would this Shammai also say that you can give the meat of the tamura only to people who are tahor? So now Tosfos says over here that Tosfos points out over here that a relevant Gemara in tamura that says, well, we have to figure out what is the question. Well, actually, Tosfos's question is really on the next piece where we're going to ask about redeeming it, but uh, um, the uh, Tosfos also talks about the owners eating it, which implies, in other words, that everybody agrees that the tmura, unlike the bechor itself, doesn't have to be given to the kohen. And the only question is whether tahorim dafka can eat it or also tmeim. On the other hand, the Rambam actually holds that the tmura also the owner would have to give to the kohen. And then, so the question is, it's given to the kohen. Can the kohen eat it when he's tamei or when his family is tamei? So that's the first question. In other words, if it was a tmura for a tam, if it was a baal mum, again, the halacha is like this hillel, a bechor baal mum, anybody can eat it, so then the tmura, there's no question about the tmura, but suppose a person did a tmura of a bechor tam, then it comes out, according to Tosfos, no problem, the yisro can eat it. The Rami Bahama's question is, according to his shamai, does he have to be tahor? And according to the Rambam, he does have to give it to the kohen. Okay. The second question also, b'chur eni nifka, we know that a b'chur can never be redeemed, whether it's a tam or a baal mum. Tmura say mahu, but what about the tmura of a b'chur? Could you redeem that? Now, here's where Tosfos discusses what's the question. If you're talking about that you would be able to, that you ask him whether you'd be able to shear it or do work with it afterwards, it doesn't matter. Solam ukdoshin, you can't anyway. If it's talking about that you wouldn't have to give it to the kohen, Then we see clearly from the Mishnah over there in Tmura that says that you keep it, that the Bailam eat it. Again, who the Bailam are, Tosfos holds the Bailam would be the Yisrael, to the Rambam holds it's the Koyin. But in any case, then it's clear what you do with it. If you're talking about that you want to use the money for another korban, you don't. It doesn't work that way. So Tosfos explains the question as far as Tmura Seimahu would simply be, if you poida b'chur, nothing happens to the money. It's completely not shayach to having pidyon done to it, and therefore nothing happens to the money. The question is, with the Tmura, would it be, granted the animal itself does not completely lose its kedusha, does the money gain kedusha or does it not? And the third question, b'chur and inishko b'litra, the b'chur, when you shech the b'chur, when you brought it as a korban, when as a tam, ain't a nishko b'litra. You cannot weigh out the meat with a litra with regular weights. If you're selling the meat, then if you're selling the meat, you can't weigh it out in the normal way. That's special to Bechor and Meiser. We talked about earlier in the Masechta. The reason for it is, well, the Gemara is going to also mention in a few lines, because with most korbanos, when you redeem them, the money goes to Hekdesh. So therefore, we will have an interest in making sure that Hekdesh can get the maximum value out of it. People are more likely to buy the meat if you sell it in a marketplace and if you sell it way in the normal way, and therefore, with other korban, with other psalei hamakdashin, we allow. But Bechor and Meiser, they belong to you. You have to bring them as korban, but nevertheless, basically, they belong to you, the owner. And therefore, or in the case of the Bechor, they belong to the Kohen, and therefore when he sells them, the money's going to go to him. So therefore, we don't want to allow you to treat Kodshim disrespectfully, and therefore, one of the rules is you can't weigh them out when you measure them, when you sell them. So the question is, so the Bechor itself, you can't do that. Tmura semahu, but what about if you're shechting the Tmura and selling the meat, would you be allowed to weigh it in the normal way? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa that answers all these things. Bechor and Meiser, Misha Humumu, the Bechor and Meiser Behema, when after they develop a mum, Oisin Tmura, they create a Tmura. It is still possible for a person to go and say, I want to exchange this animal for that one. He's Oivran and Isser in the Torah. It's Malchus for it, but the Tmura is effective. Or Tmura Sam, Kayetz Behem, the Tmura is in fact, has the dinim like them. So yes, that answers all three of your questions, and the same dinim that apply to the Bechor are going to apply to this Tmura. You can't redeem it, or as Tosfos says, the money won't get kedusha if you try. According to the Rambam, by the way, the Velvel Brisker points out that Karen Oda points out that Tosfos had said as far as Pidyon, the question would be what happens to the money. According to the Rambam, it comes out the question would be again the Rambam who had held that even the Tmura of a Bechor you have to give to the Koyan. So the question would be, if you poured it, do you still have to give it to the Koyan, or now can you keep it? So yes, it's still the same din. You can't weigh it with a litra measure, just like you don't the meat of the Bechor itself. And according to his Shama, you can't give it to Tmei. Okay. Now another question. Boy Rami Bahama. So now Rami Bahama has another question for which we're now going to bring in our Mishnah as a proof. Pitbis Bechor Lebedek Abayis. Suppose a person took the Bechor and donated it to Bedek Abayis. Now the Bechor itself, it can't be changed into any other kind of korban. But what you could do is, after it develops a mum, Rashi says specifically we're talking about the Kohen, so then he's able to take and mimakdish it, the Beit HaKabayis, which means in effect, therefore, the value of it now, so now what happens is that the Bechor, in effect, belongs to Hekdesh. So it still has to be eaten with the dinim of a Bechor. But now the proceeds from selling it are going to go to Hekdesh instead of to the Kohen itself. So Maushi Yishko Balitra, now are you allowed to weigh that meat with a litra? We have to ask, Ravcha the Hekdesh Adif, is it better that Hekdesh should gain more money from it? Again, the reason why by most korbanos, if you're selling the meat, why you're allowed to weigh them with a litra, is because Hekdesh, by most Sulam of Goshen, you're allowed to weigh the meat because the value of them, when you pour to them, goes to Hekdesh, and therefore there's more, therefore Hekdesh stands to gain more from it. Over here also, Hekdesh stands to gain more from it, because after all, the value of it is going to Beit HaKabayis. Or maybe the fact that you're degrading the Bechor, and selling it like you would any chulin meat, then maybe that's considered important. That's the more important factor, and therefore you can't do that. So maybe the fact that even you were mapped as for Beit HaKabayis, and Rashi explains the reason is because when it comes to a different korban, it's for the same kedusha itself. You had an animal that was supposed to be an oila, for example. Now it can't be brought as an oila because it developed a mum. You're shechting it and you're going to eat the meat. When you're selling it to somebody, the money is going to go to buy another oila. But over here, the money is not going to go for another Bechor because you don't have another Bechor. Instead, it's going to go to Hekdesh. It's going to go to Beit HaKabayis. So maybe it's not the same thing. And maybe, therefore, the fact that the usual rule of not being able to sell the meat of a Bechor by regular weight still applies. Tosfos points out that the one factor that might factor into this is whether this issue of weighing out the meat is the rabbanon. But then it's easy to ask, well, did the rabbanon waive that rule in this case? But Tosfos points out, the Gemara say that it's daraisa. So then, fine. The question could still be on a daraisa level. Is there that distinction? So the Gemara says, Omer of Yosef Azvida Toshma. Let's prove from our Mishnah. This is why we're bringing in the Sovi over here. This Arvul of Bechor of a Meiser, if some other korban was mixed up with a Bechor of a Meiser, we leave them all to graze, Abshi Stavu, until they develop a mum, and then you eat them following the rules of Kedusha of Bechor and Meiser. Now, what do we mean to bechor u'maaser? Lav l'mem v'ein nishka b'litra. That means that you have to treat them all as though they were bechor, and none of them can be weighed with a litra. Now, hekdesh stands to lose out then, because the other animals were oilos or shlomim or what have you, and again, we would have used the money for another korban of the same type. And now we're saying that if we're going to have to treat them all like Bechor, we can't weigh any of them out. That means that we're going to have fewer customers and we're going to have to sell it for a cheaper price. Hekdesh stands to lose out. And nevertheless, the fact of not treating a Bechor disrespectfully overrides that. So you see, therefore, even in your case of the Bechor that is now Makdish to Beit HaKabayis, the same rule would apply. However, the Gemara says, Rav Huna and Rav Chizkiya, Talmid de Rav Yemiya Amri. Rav Huna and Rav Chizkiya, the Talmidim of Rav Yemiya, said, that's not a proof. Me, dummy, how do you compare the two cases? Hosam shtei kedushas. The fact is, not only there is it two kedushas, because again, you have the oila versus the Bechor, for the oila or the shlomim, whatever, versus the Bechor, or shnei gufin, there's actually two different bodies, because we're talking about different animals over here. So therefore, we have good reason to say that we shouldn't be mizalzel in the Bechor, in one type of korban for the sake of increasing the potential resale value of a different korban. Pachak, shtei kedushas for guf echad. Here, sure, it's two kedushas, but it's only one guf. Within the same animal itself, you have a kedusha of bechor and a kedusha of Beit HaKabayis. So maybe the fact that you should gain more money for hekdesh should override the, even though it's fine for it's a different kedusha, but nevertheless, within this animal itself, within the meat of this korban itself, maybe we should allow it. So maybe not. You can't prove from our mission one way or the other. But now the Gemara objects to Rami Bachama's premise. How could he even do that in the first place? Master thought of Yosef Ba'ovin. You're telling me that he's Makdis B'chor LeBerek HaBayis. How did he even allow him to do that in the first place? Ma ilu Omer Chafku Li B'chor Sheik Kisi LeBerek HaBayis. Suppose a person were to come to Beis Din and say, I donated this B'chor to Berek HaBayis. Now, help me be poided so that it should become completely mutter, and I should be allowed to lose its kedusha altogether, and I should be able to, shear it and work with it. And that means that when it's sold, then it'll be worth more money. We're going to listen to him. The fact is, the pasuk says that you can't. A b'chor can never be redeemed, and it's always also the giz of avoda. Tosfos points out, we could be talking about over here a Baal Mum, not that it developed a Mum afterwards, but let's say it was a Baal Mum to begin with. So then, fine, it's not like other Psula and Mekdoshin. Other Korbanis would never have Kedusha Saguf in that case, but B'chor does not, because B'chor is born with Kedusha. But nevertheless, the facts are, and the fact is, we wouldn't say that we're going to allow him to take off the Kedusha completely just because it'll earn more money for Hekdush. So the same way, why should we allow it? What Rami Bahama, what are you even thinking that we should allow it in order to gain more money for Hekdush? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, have to. What do you mean? Of course, if he tells them, redeem it for me. Rahmana Amalei Sifka. The Torah clearly says, don't redeem it. So of course, there's no question that you can't do that. But the question is over here, when it comes to doing the litra, again, as Tosfos says, maybe this whole concept of weighing it the litra is only dirabanon, even if we say daraisa, it doesn't actually say explicitly in a pasuk. So Ela Amar Abami. Rather, Rabbi Ami says, here's a different way that we can answer the question. After all, what can the Koyan be maknet to Berek HaBayis? Only what he himself owns. He can only sell the rights that he himself has to the Bechor. He himself can't sell it Belitra. So how could he now, because he was maknet to Berek HaBayis, that should allow it to be sold Belitra? That's not going to work. So therefore, that's the answer. That would be a different way of answering Rami Bahama's question. So fine, you can't prove from our Mishnah, but by that logic of Klum Hiknazel, Masha Konei Loi, it wouldn't work. That's according to Rashi's explanation. Rashi, the regular Rashi, printed by the side of the Gemara. Rashi Ksav Yad explains differently that what Rav Ami is saying is he's clarifying Rav Yosi Bar Oven's question. Rav Yosi Bar Oven had said, if the person were to go to Beis Din and say, help me be poyed of this animal, we wouldn't listen to him. And then when I asked, of course we wouldn't, because the pasuk says, lo siftu. So Rav Ami explains that what Rav Yosi Bar Oven means is not to actually be poyed it, is it possible for him to actually buy it to the extent of making it mutter to do things that were also before? No. Well, then the answer is that no, also over here. Okay. The Mishnah had finished off. We said all kinds of korbanos could be mixed up, and you wouldn't be able to tell, except the Mishnah said for a chatas and an osham, because a chatas is most people's chatas is a female, and an osham is always a male. So the Gemara asks, "Ma'ishna chatas for osham, dahai zocha v'hai nekeva." Well, what's the difference? One is male and one is female, so it's easy to tell. Well, you could ask chatas for olanami. Then the same thing with a chatas and an ola. Chatas is female, and ola is male. So then also, so the Mishnah should say that's also an exception that can never be mixed up. The answer is no, because it's a sorin nosi, because after all, there is the, as we talk about in Amud Aleph, you have the goat brought by a nosi when he does an aveira, where that's also a male. So then you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between that and an oila. So the Tiferes Yisrael brings up a point. The Gemara could have easily just said that. Why don't we just say the Korbanos Tzibur? You have the Seiri Regalim, the Seiri Reshchoder, Rosh Chodoshim, Rosh Hamoedes. Those are all males, and they also you could have that they're mixed up with an Oshem, and you wouldn't be able to tell. And not an Oshem, they could be mixed up with an Ola, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So he says because the Mishnah mentioned Chatas and Oshem is always a Korban Yachad. There's no such thing as an Oshem of the Tzibur. So therefore, the Gemara wants to also bring an example with a korban of a yachid. So the Gemara says, "Chatas for Osham Nami Ha'ikam Nasi." So Chatas for Osham Nami. So the answer is, so that's the answer. Chatas for Osham. So that's the answer. Ikam Nasi. Then you have the fact is, Ikasur Nasi. You have the korban of the Nasi, and that could not be told apart from an Olah. Well, the question is, Chassas Roshim Nami. Ika so nasi. Well, then, Chassas and Oshim also. How are you going to tell the difference? They're both male animals. And the answer is because they're different species of animals. Haitseir, Haitsemer. The king's Chassas is going to be a goat, which has hair. And the Oshim is going to be a sheep, which has wool. So you can easily enough tell the difference. So you have the difference as far as the consistency of it. Wool is softer than hair. Tosfos points out that there's also a difference of color. Wool is more typically white. The goat's hair is more usually dark colored. Okay. Tosfos actually points out that even though the Gemara does explain elsewhere that a ram is a, so you have, as far as the six kinds of Hashamas, two of them are sheep, four of them are rams. Rams also are dark colored, but it's easy enough to tell the difference if you look more closely, you can tell the difference between the hair of a ram between the wool or whatever, the wool or hair or whatever you call it of a ram versus of a goat. So therefore, so that's the answer that you can't really have a chatas and an oshem ever getting mixed up. Okay, the Gemara asks, Pesach v'oshem nami le'ma'arav. A korban Pesach and a korban oshem can never get mixed up either. Hai ben shonim, hai ben shtei shonim. Both of them are male animals, it is true. And in certain cases, both and an oshem, but a korban Pesach is an animal within its first year. And oshem, most of the time, is an animal of second year. Is a ram, is already a mature animal. The answer is Hashem Nazir v'Hashem Metzorah. Yeah, but you have the Hashem Nazir and the Hashem Metzorah, which are also a sheep within its first year. So then if they get mixed up, you're not going to be able to tell. The Boisema, or another possibility, you don't even need that. Sometimes you have an animal that grows faster and matures faster, and it's within a year old, and it looks like it's 2 years old. Vice versa, you can have an animal that grows more slowly, and it's really already in its second year, and it looks like it's in its first year still. So therefore, even with a regular Oshem, you don't even need to resort to Hashem Metzorah and Hashem Nazir, even a regular Hashem Zelus, Hashem Melus, the rest of them, which are a ram, sometimes you can have a ram which looks like a sheep, or vice versa, and therefore it is possible for a Korban Pesach to be mixed up with those, and you wouldn't be able to tell, and therefore the Mishnah can correctly say that the only case that they can never be mixed up is Chatas and Oshem.